Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me in the studio today is Travis
McClunky
and True Vanguard.
Hello, hello.
How's it going, sir?
Hey, fan-freaking-tastic. Living the dream.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us today. We have a lot of cool stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about that snazzy sword update. We're going to talk about your big PvP event you got going on. Fractaline advice. We're going to talk PvP, and we're going to react to the Imperium Foundation / Inotam fight. So let's start with the Inotam stuff.
Yes.
I really like this encounter. Mm-hmm. I think it's better than the other Scion Flayers, basically.
Yeah.
I like him the most. I like that there's a little bit more mechanic to it. True Vanguard, we'll start with you. What did you think of it?
You know, it was a refreshing experience because I think we had our expectations set pretty low coming off of the
Absolutely.
Previous season, kind of sort of leading up to that final Vex mind fight. And it was such a letdown. And then this time we actually get a new encounter, new mechanics, new spaces. So it was definitely refreshing to see some creativity in that arena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. What do you think, Travis?
They were cool. It was cool. I wish there were more mechanics than just like, you know, killing the small flare and then going right back, but other than that, I mean, it's like True Vanguard, I think you hit it on the nose, which is like my expectations at least were it was going to be the exact same encounter, except for the Scion would have like, you know, the powers of all three, which is essentially what happened. But we got like a new area. There were some light mechanics, so it was more than we were expecting. Do you guys know if there's any special like drops you can get from that, or is there
nope.
any reason to do it? Really?
Not that I know of.
Not that I'm aware of.
Just the quest.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can do it on legendary, which is harder.
There you go.
That's what I hear.
You get the triumph. Yeah, and then that helps you unlock the title.
I've made it very clear and apparent that I've been playing much less this season, mm-hmm. and apparently I'm very close to getting the title. I just have to finish out two of the weapons and do the leveling up to get your shaders.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm just waiting for this event to be complete and then I'll get the title.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, and that too, but that seems to be community based. Let's talk about Imperium Foundation. So Imperium Foundation started this week. Everybody's recommending that you hold on to your Fractaline. I say, do what you want. Live your life. Throw it all in there. The best way to do it though, if you want to donate the most, is to power up the obelisks, yes.
Yeah.
And then cash it all in at the end of the week because you'll get a bigger return on your investment.
Yeah, I think you're supposed... Somebody did the math. I think it's like... It makes sense to deposit the first 3 weeks when they mm-hmm. give you and then give it back the rest of the event, which I think is like 2 more weeks. That's like mathematically the best way to do it.
I donated a bunch of Fractaline.
I just donated it.
Yeah. that's why we're on level 3.
I wanted to get the emblem. It's I want that now.
Yeah, and then next week I'm going to... You know, dump a whole bunch in there.
How much have you donated, True? Or have you donated any?
Yeah, so I donated. Well, I had the thing is I have kind of neglected my obelisk. I got them all to 11, and then I just kind of stopped. But I play so much PvP, and I had the correct obelisk linked up, so I was getting lots of drops of Fractaline as I play PvP. So I had thousands and thousands of Fractaline when this event went live. So I did my 5,000 mainly just because I didn't even care about the emblem. For me, it was I needed God rules on these weapons, specifically the judgment, because the Traveler's Judgment sidearm, I'm a big fan of it. So I've been hunting my God rule. Finally got it, so I stopped donating. I was like, hey, I'll be good now. I went and I invested the rest, and you know, so I'll have some compounding returns on my investment. So I did a little bit of both.
Cool. Yeah. Don't forget, you want to make sure to, you know, not get hit with short gain tax. It's tax season, so
you have to donate enough too.
Yeah. Why don't you talk a little bit about, well, before we move on, actually. So this is trials, right?
Oh yeah, big time.
Like almost definitely. What if it's just Crimson Days early? I saw that joke. I don't think that would go over very well.
No, the actual Triumph that you unlock gives you a shader, and I think it's called like Trials something. Yeah. It like has the word Trials
it's
in
like
it.
Like Trials Lighthouse.
Or, yeah, it's like very, and it's gold and black is the color. That's so right. Yeah, it's very clear.
They're basically telling us without telling us, you know?
Right.
So they've done everything except just come out and say it at this point.
Yeah. I'm excited. I mean, I'm kind of disappointed I wasn't here last week when the data mining came out because
I didn't read it.
Yeah, I've been. Oh, you didn't?
No.
You didn't talk about it on the last show?
No. So we had MTashed and
I remember now. Yeah, I've been like thumping my chest for trials ever since I've been on the show, and it finally is here, and I'm extremely excited to get sweaty again, put on my sweaty goggles.
So best case scenario. They activate it next week, right?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Drew?
I was just going to say it's a relief that it's not. I mean, they're clearly moving away from the Trials of the Nine thing. This is whatever version of Trials we're getting here. There's no mention of the Nine in any capacity. So they're sort of communicating that they've definitely moved away from that model. So hopefully it's more reminiscent of the original Trials.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if it wasn't. Yeah. Because that was the feedback.
Well, maybe you go into like the time area, and that would sort of make sense where you're just killing each other repeatedly.
Right.
More incentive. Like maybe there's a little bit more lore as to why you have to res your teammates or something. They could sort of lean into that. I just want the mode back. Will it save Destiny? No, I think that's a little hyperbolic to think that, but I think it will make it so there's a lot more regular things to do in Destiny, and I would be very excited to see, you know, more trials, streamers and stuff like that.
I think the only way they could mess this up, I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, they could do something weird with the game mode or just give you maps that don't really work with trials because a lot of the Destiny 2 maps are a little chaotic, not super well-made for comp. But the only way that they could really mess it up is if they didn't have good drops, because that was the incentive of the old trials, right? Like the armor had really high rolls, and you had a reason to. It wasn't just for
it looked really cool.
That was true. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And there was that auto. What was the auto that I loved? God,
Doctrine
I can't remember
of Passing.
Yes,
there we go. Wow,
you, sir,
you nailed that. But yeah, if the rolls are really good on the armor and also the weapons have potential for you to get god rolls, I think that will be enough to make people come back every week happily, because that's been the one thing. All of my friends are like really sweaty PvP guys, so it's just been sad to see them kind of, you know, slowly go away. But they'll come back. Actually, a lot of them started training as soon as the data mining came out.
I hit legend this season. Yeah. I hit legend again. So
that's
two in a row. One more and I got the seal.
Wow. Won't that be your first seal?
No, it'll be my third. Oh. Like I have other seals that are Undying was pretty easy, tedious.
Yeah. Right.
True Vanguard, speaking of PvP, you have an event coming up. Why don't you tell us a little bit about
that's
it?
That's right.
The floor is yours.
Yeah, so this event is called the Play My Way Tournament. So it's a real fresh take on the way that Destiny can be played in a competitive atmosphere. You know, there's never been a tournament to date that actually discourages the use of the most effective things, right? So we ended up sidelining the things that are really what you might call meta right now. And it's not because we hate the meta. It's not because we dislike the sweaty community. The whole reason is we wanted to take things off the table that make the choice for the player. That way, because if those certain guns, spare rations and mindbender are on the table, players will always use them because they want to win, right? Mm-hmm. So if we take these things off the table, then it frees people up to really express themselves and almost use their guardian as a canvas for them to express their creativity and to bring their play style to the table, which is why the name of the tournament is the Play My Way Tournament. Mm-hmm. And it's got record-breaking participation at this point with 500 teams signed up. It's got the most participation from the community of any PvP tournament in Destiny at this point.
That's awesome. And how does somebody sign up? Is sign up still available?
And we have, for the time being, closed it. We capped it at 500 teams because getting 500 teams whittled down in one weekend to a finals bracket for the next weekend is going to be a challenge already with 500 teams. So we figure we don't want to bite off too much more than we can chew. or get too overly ambitious at this point. But we have a wonderfully girthy prize pool too. So we're very excited about it.
Can people watch?
Yeah, so you're going to be able to watch it live on Facebook Gaming on my page. If you just go to truevanguard.com, it'll take you right there. And if you follow, you'll get notifications. So the qualifiers will be the 29th of February and the 1st of March. And we'll do some broadcasting then. We have a full green screen studio made. We'll have a live casting for the event. It'll be fantastic. And then the following week, the 7th of March, will be a long day of streaming right there. Hmm. Also, the competitors themselves will be live streaming on their own channels. So if you just want to support those people, maybe your friends in the tournament, you want to go watch him, you don't need the commentary or whatever, you can go straight to their channels as well.
Yeah, you can. So check out your favorites or go to truevanguard.com and it'll bring you to the Facebook page. That is really cool. And I think it's a good segue into one of the topics that I wanted to discuss with you this week. You're a big PvP guy. I thought you would have some good insight. What do you think the biggest problems are with PvP right now? Because personally, maybe I'm a filthy casual or whatever.
I feel
pretty good about PvP. I find going into solo survival, you know, I can get to around 4,000 solo. Then you kind of need a team to make sure that you can actually get to legend. I'm having a lot of fun doing that. I think Lord of Wolves needs to be deleted from the game immediately. It's not good in PvE and it's annoying in PvP, and get rid of Telesto. But besides that, I'm largely happy and I don't play with meta weapons. And well, I mean, Revoker's kind of a meta weapon.
Revoker is essential, yeah, at least for my place.
So I'm pretty happy, but I'm constantly hearing that PvP is in a bad place. So I'll start with the expert who we have on the show today, True Vanguard. Why are people unhappy? Help me understand.
Well, so the reason why people are unhappy right now is because a lot of the more vocal people in the community are diehard players. They're really committed players. And the way that Crucible's set up right now, the people that are punished the most are the people who are in there all the time because their stats are a little inflated. And what's ended up happening is no matter where they go right now, they're really, really likely to encounter other players of their skill level or higher. So they end up having to play really hard wherever they go. They feel forced into playing the meta because we've got skill-based matchmaking front and center. The first thing you see when you pull up the Destiny Crucible directory, right? You've got the control playlist, which is 6v6. Skill-based matchmaking is on. So naturally, people who are more casual players are going to gravitate towards that experience. It's front and center. It looks like it's the staple PvP experience for them to engage with. So that's where they go. Now, that's not a bad thing. If you're a casual player, that's fantastic. The problem is you have this quick play experience, right? Which is down in the lower right-hand corner. It's small. There's no words on it. There's nothing explaining what that is. It just kind of looks like an afterthought down there. And that used to be the place where highly competitive players could go and just relax. They could use really offbeat things and have fun in there.
Experiment.
Because it was just prioritizing connections and nothing else. But the problem is there's not a lot of casual people playing in that playlist right now, because what's front and center when the casual people who just like to play PvP every now and then, when they open up that directory, it's a skill-based matchmaking thing front and center, which means they're no longer in the player pool for the highly skilled players. Now, it's a fine line to walk here, because as a lover of Destiny, I'm not at all upset that casual players are having a more relaxed environment to play in. I think that's fantastic. But you also don't want to alienate the people who love your activities the most. And so it's a really hard balance to find.
Travis, what do you think? You're a big PvP guy.
Yeah.
You play a lot.
Yeah, I guess I never really thought about my objective when I play PvP isn't to like find a place where I can just like basically dunk on, you know, casuals, which it sounds like
right.
That's kind of the thing that they're missing, is like a place to like show off kind of their power. But I know that was a huge part of the culture with Destiny 1. It was like, you know, that was a game that was kind of unbalanced in the right way, where like if you were really good at it, you can just destroy and get like 50 kills and just, you know, show off that way. But yeah, I guess that's not really, you know, I'm probably in like a middle bracket somewhere where it's like somewhat competitive, but it's not at the level of like the people who do this professionally. So my experience is pretty kind of probably similar to yours.
Yeah. So we're largely happy. The one thing I don't like, and I'll say this, I can't play with some of my friends.
Because you get pulled into their bracket.
Because I get pulled into their bracket,
yeah.
And that makes for a negative experience for me. And it just sucks, because I'm like, I'm going to screw up where I'm at ranking right now. I'll just keep playing solo survival and hope I get a good team. And then the solo survival playlist is great, but sometimes it's oddly matched. Sometimes you'll go in solo, you'll get two players who are below your skill level against three players who are at about the same skill level, and that just seems unbalanced to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It should be, so, you know, one person should each get a lower skill level, and then somebody in the middle, and then somebody wherever. I don't understand how they configure the teams. Maybe you have some insight.
Yeah, one of the problems right now is that a lot of people are confused about what lobby balancing is, but there's two mechanics for matchmaking right now. One is just the raw matchmaking where it pulls in, you know, what depending on your playlist, say you're in a 6v6 environment, where it pulls in six players for each team, right? It pulls in a total of 12, and that's the matchmaking. Then there's a secondary function called lobby balancing, where it's like, now we've got our players, let's try and divide up the teams in a way that makes sense. And the problem is that it runs off of this sort of law of averages, and that starts to get messed up when you have outliers in the lobby. This is what you're talking about when you say, I feel it's hard when I play with my friends. That's because there's this law of averages. If you have somebody who's a 10 in the lobby, and then you've got a bunch of fives and sixes, but then you've got a one and a two and a three. Well, what lobby balancing does is it says, let's take the 10 and we need to bring him down to average things out. So we'll give him the one, the two, and the three. The other team then has, you know, four, five, sixes. So in short, what actually ends up happening is you have a team where five players out of six are worse than everyone on the other team. So you have the one outlier who's the 10 on top of their team, and they're having to work extra hard. But it's not fun for the majority of the team because there's not a single person they can get in a gunfight with that's at their skill level. Everyone is above them because the game's just trying to get averages in terms of skill level across the board between the two teams. So when you have outliers in the lobby, that means that somebody's not going to have fun because of the way that that lobby bouncing happens.
So to me, that sounds like an incredibly difficult problem to solve for. So what would be a solution?
I think there's like a math solution here, actually. there's a way to not do it with averages or to treat outliers differently.
Do you have any suggestions? Like, what are your suggestions to make PvP better?
Yeah, so
that's why you're here. You're the PvP guy. Yeah.
In terms of lobby balance, I think that's one of their biggest struggles right now because Destiny has lots of outliers in the community. So that happens pretty frequently. So I think when you have a lobby that has an outlier like that, I think the game needs to be able to detect that and adjust accordingly. Because in a lot of lobbies, when people are around the same skill level, lobby bouncing, it's not that bad. And you actually end up with a lot of really good matchups. But when there are those outliers, the game needs to be able to recognize that and just play the game a little bit differently when it balances the lobbies out. So what I think it ought to do is, instead of taking the top guy in the lobby and putting him with the bottom guys in the lobby, because that just ends up being a real bad mismatch. Even though the average makes sense, the gameplay doesn't. So instead, what it should do is take number one in the lobby, put him on a team. Take two and three, put them on another team. Then take four and five, and then just go by twos down the lobby. You get what I'm saying here?
Yeah, almost the bracket structure.
And that makes a much more balanced environment rather than just saying, no matter what the lobby looks like, we're playing the law of averages here. We're going to average out the skill levels of both teams. That practically doesn't work. On paper, it works great, but practically, no.
No, I think that seems like a good solution. You know, figure out what to do with the top players and then, you know, distribute appropriately with the remainders.
Yeah.
Math guy, what do you think?
Math guy, yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, I know that there's a solution to this that's math-based, but and it kind of surprises me that a bunch of computer programmers haven't figured that out yet. It's like, that's like, isn't that their whole game? But yeah, I'm not a developer.
Take the median range of skill.
Yeah, there's like some math equation here that, I know, to fix this.
Yes, right. Distribute that appropriately.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting suggestion, but again, I think the reason that they probably haven't solved this is because it's for such a small group of people, right? It's for the tens. The tens are the ones who get negatively impacted. I mean, and the ones as well. But for the vast majority of people that are probably somewhere in the middle, it's like working for them. And that's why players like you, who probably are in the middle 5-6 range, are like happy with the state of play.
I'll take a 5-6.
People that are tens and ones probably aren't. So
yeah.
I've been
practicing slide sniping. That's fun. I've just been having a good time. I've been working on Lunas. I've been working on skill set. My snipes have gotten incredibly good. compared to where it was when I started, and I'm really happy with where I'm at PvP wise.
I hope you can't hear that dog.
Yeah, definitely can.
The Lord of Wolves. Sounds the Lord of Wolves is beckoning in the background.
The Lord of Wolves is cranking noise gate up. Someone must be walking their dog.
I love that your event also focuses on non-traditional loadouts because
that's cool.
What's that gun everybody's using right now? You just said its name 2 seconds ago. The hand cannon.
Spare rations?
Spare rations. Yeah, everybody's using spare rations with god rolls because it's really, really good. I'm using Thorn is actually my favorite, and I'm using Luna's. Because I'm going for Not Forgotten right now. And I'm doing just fine with that. It's like Revoker, Lunas, and I just get hand cannon kills as I can go. Just casually, I've gotten 60 out of the 300 you need for the gun. I'm just fine with that. I really, really like Thorn. I like the rate of fire. I like how it works. And when you can actually go on a pretty good run if you actually get a kill and get that buff.
Right.
That's right.
So I enjoy that quite a bit. Last word. In a pretty decent spot. In a pretty good spot right now. And
Where do you primarily play? Console or PC?
PC. Yeah. So PC, my main loadout's been Revoker and hand cannon. And then I had to do hand cannon kills. So I had a weird loadout for a while for the precision hand cannon kills, like Ace and some Beloved for the sniper, you know. But yeah, like I said, I feel like I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. I'm having fun with PvP.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I am, but I
you're console.
I'm console. So yeah.
What is your loadout? Is it like just shotguns and assault rifles?
No, I'm like double snipers, man. I'm like
really.
Yeah, I go like full commit on snipers. No, I do. I use Revoker, and then usually my primary weapon, kinetic weapon, will kind of switch between things.
What are some sometimes. Of your go-tos?
I use a lot.
Arbalest.
No.
Kinetic.
Yeah. No, isn't Revoker? Revoker's.
Revoker's special. And it takes your first.
But it takes your first slot. Yeah. So I end up with
kinetic,
a lot of. I end up with a lot of energy weapons. I was using sidearms for a while when those were hot. And now I think I'm back at. I'm using a scout rifle. I can't remember which one, though.
And True, what's been your primary go to PvP loadout in Destiny 2 this season?
My way of playing Destiny is by introducing as much variety and experimentation as possible. Mm-hmm. So I play with a lot of different things. You know, I love sidearms. I'm a huge sidearm fan, but right now I have like 6 sidearms on my person at all time. I like my Traveler's Judgment. I like the Lonesome, I like the Anonymous Autumn. I like the new Breach Light St. 14 sidearm. There's just so many things for me to play. It's so good. And on top of that, I've had a lot of fun playing with Bastion lately. I love the Omniscient Eye sniper rifle from the Garden of Salvation raid. There's just so many things I love playing with.
Yeah, and I like that. Let me know if I'm totally off base here. Do you think spare rations is getting so much attention just because like the tens are using it, as you would say? Or do you think there are competitors within the hand cannon space and just that particular weapon is getting maybe a little bit extra attention just because of those players utilizing it?
So there's a couple of things I would say in response to that question. First and foremost, I think it's important to remember that gamers are not stupid. And if something's good, they'll figure it out. And they don't need a YouTuber to tell them that. They don't need a Twitch streamer to tell them that. We knew what was good in a game before content creation really took off the way that it is now.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to remember that gamers aren't dumb. Gamers are smart. They'll figure out what's good. On top of that, the reason that spare rations is as good as it is, it's not necessarily because people saw the top people using it. It's because this is a hand cannon that fires really fast, right? So 150. So it's the second fastest firing archetype of hand cannon in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, it also kills in the same amount of shots as the hardest hitting archetype in the game, the 110s. The 110s still require 3 shots to kill. So logistically, there's no reason you would run a 110 if you still have to land 3 shots. If you could just run a 150 like spare rations and still land 3 shots. And same thing with 140s. 140s still require all 3 headshots to put someone down in 3 shots. There's no reason to run a 140 over a 150 because not only do you have to hit 3 shots, you still have to hit all 3 headshots. So if your choices are, would you rather shoot a gun that fires fast and kills in 3 shots or use a gun that fires slower and kills in 3 shots?
It's
a no-brainer.
It's about TTK.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your optimal TTK is great on a spare rations. So now you're whittled it down to 150 archetypes, which is why Thorn is also really, you know, popular right now. But why spare rations over the other 150s like a sunshine? Well, that's because A, you're right, it's legendary, doesn't take up your exotic slot, and B, 150s notoriously have some pretty pretty bad recoil.
Yeah,
spare rations actually has some pretty good visual recoil. Now on top of that, everyone is getting their god rolls that have this perk called Rapid Hit. Rapid Hit makes it so that when you get precision hits back to back, it's going to almost negate your recoil. It's going to make your recoil very, very manageable. And a final factor with the god rolls people are getting on this spare rations hand cannon, the aim assist value is over 90. Mm. So all of these things stack to make it undisputed the best hand cannon in the game. And hand cannons are the most popular choice right now, having an overall usage rate of well over 25%, sometimes even up in the low 30 percentile for weapon usage right now, which is huge compared to any other primary weapon archetype in the game.
Yeah, they've always been dominant too.
Well, one quick thing I want to make sure that is clear to everybody listening. I don't think anybody's stupid. I was posing a question about the weapon that I was sort of curious about, because I do see these metas sort of ebb and flow, and I always have to wonder, I'm like, is there just a gun out there that we haven't discovered yet because we're focusing in on something else? So I hope that wasn't your takeaway when I asked that question.
No, not at all. But that is a very common thing that that people will say in communities. Like they'll say that content creators or people that publish content in general tend to make the metas, and I just don't think that's true.
Yeah, I have seen that sentiment a lot lately, and it's like I think MTash was, you know, retweeting somebody who's like, it's your fault it's like this. And it's just kind of interesting, the finger pointing that's been going on in the community, and I don't know where that's coming from. I think people are just potentially frustrated right now with just general sandbox things, so they're just trying to come up with answers, and sometimes that comes out in angry angry rants.
That's right.
And you know, screenshotted text bubbles and such like that. Well, okay, that's really insightful. No, you bring up some really, really good points about the gun, and thank you for articulating, because it helps me have a better understanding of why people are using this gun so much and why I need to chase that god roll to be, you know, at least competitive with the hand cannons in PvP. Do you think Bungie's going to do anything about that particular weapon?
I don't think in the immediate future, no. I think they coming off of a hand cannon nerf that they did recently, I think that they would lose some good faith if they came out and nerfed it. I think at this point, they really need to focus on making some great incentives that encourage more diversity rather than hammering down the things that are sticking out.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, one of the other updates that it's going to be really, really interesting to see, and that's the sword update. So swords are no longer going to consume ammo, basically. Here's what Bungie said. Swords now have their own reserve of energy that recharges naturally on its own and is not to be confused with ammo capacity. This energy will overtake your melee slot while you're wielding a sword and is spent on various actions. For example, guarding now uses sword energy instead of consuming ammo. Different guards have different consumption rates, damage resistance, and behaviors, so be sure to experiment and find a guard type you like. You still need at least one ammo to begin guarding, though. This is cool. This is really, really interesting, and it's going to be really neat to see how this changes how people utilize swords.
It could end up being affecting the meta, because you don't need power ammo anymore to use a sword.
Well, you need one ammo.
You need one ammo to guard.
I think you still need ammo
to guard. So, are you a sword user?
No. I mean, why would you?
Yeah. Yeah, right?
It's like, it's just not part of the meta right now. I think the only people who use swords are for PvE. So, I think this will make them viable in PvP. You know, you'll see like the odd person using it, but it's like to troll or, you know, to complete some bounty or something. So, this is a kind of a different thing. But yeah, I'm excited to see how this changes things.
True. Why do you think they decided to change how swords are going to function? I welcome the shakeup with any sort of weapon type. I'm just sort of curious why you think they decided to do this.
I think they have a real challenge in making swords have a real meaning in the game, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that they've expressed some good creativity with things like World Line Zero and with Black Town. They're creative. They're interesting. Are they really effective? Probably not. So the problem that they're seeing is that some of the base functions of the sword, like the guarding, they don't get used, because the way that swords are designed, you just end up using all your ammo not attacking. You use your ammo to get places and to block incoming damage, but then by the time you close the gap, you get to your target, you've got a couple of swings left, mm-hmm. and that can pose a real challenge in keeping them relevant. So I think this is a good way to let swords have a place.
Yeah,
let you actually use them as swords and not as other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sure the reason that they made this change is because
it's because of the streamers.
Yeah, it's all True Vanguard's fault. Or should I call you True Crucible? I'm imagining that it's because sword usage must be so low. I mean, people mm-hmm. use them for like glitches or to like jump across large
gaps. Traversal.
That's really it.
Yeah.
I kind of miss when swords were part of the meta. Remember when we were all using them to kill bosses in D1?
That's right.
Yeah, that was cool.
They're still fun every once in a while, but I can't remember an instance where I'm like, I really need a sword for this encounter.
Yeah,
I wish it is. Well, most of the bosses do this slam AoE
stomp.
Attack
the stomp.
That throws yes. you anyway, so you have no reason to go up there with a sword.
Yeah, that's been a bummer too.
That's one of my pet peeves with PvE. the slam, man, the stomp mechanic. I can't deal with it.
I think the common consensus is, Bungie, please stop with the stomp mechanic.
Yes, dude, please. It's so.
True. Those were the main topics for this week. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we head out? Any topics that we may have missed?
Did you are you familiar with the speedrunning community and their concerns with this sword nerf or not nerf buff?
No. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it? Yeah, I am familiar. So I'm familiar with the speedrunning community. I'm not familiar with their concerns though. Mm-hmm.
So there are people who really love setting records for the time it takes to complete certain PvE activities. And a lot of them use the World Line Zero sword in order to do it. Mm-hmm. Because World Line Zero allows you to carry momentum with a Warlock Burst Glide. And you can travel at just insane speed. Faster than a sparrow can travel, you can mm-hmm. just fly as a Warlock. It helps you get across giant gaps. Take, for example, in the Garden of Salvation raid, after you complete that first encounter, yeah. you kill all the Cyclopses, and then you go down into this area where if you fall off, you can die, but it's just sort of a jumping puzzle to get across to the next encounter. Well, speedrunners will use the World Line Zero. They have a route that they've memorized where they can fly across that gap and just in a matter of seconds, progress onto the next encounter. So it can be really useful in that capacity. But it sounds like these changes to the swords, the way that they're now going to be consuming energy, is going to make it pretty difficult, and from what we've heard, probably impossible to continue to string together those World Line Zero skates. So it's really going to affect the speedrunning community.
Yeah. Well,
which I think is unfortunate.
It is, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, go ahead.
Well, no, in addition to that, they also patched the dungeon recently, and they added a rock that actually prevented speedrunners from completing it as quickly as they could. It just seems like a really odd decision on Bungie's part. We don't like that people can complete it so fast. It's like, why?
Yeah.
Like, they're still in there for 15, 20 minutes if you're, like, super fast.
Yeah. To be fair, I think the sword thing was probably related to other balance issues, but it does affect the speedrunning community. I tend to mm-hmm. think that the community will always find ways to come up with, you know, skates and ways to go fast and stuff. I don't think this is going to prevent that, to be honest. But I think it will make it for any records that have already been set, it'll be really hard to beat those.
Yeah.
Because it puts them at such a disadvantage.
And I do have to wonder what happens to all those efforts and records that they've already established. Are they going to, they'll probably be retained for that version of Destiny before, and then they're going to have to set new standards for whatever they land on going forward. The speedrunning community is absolutely fantastic. I believe we're hosting the world record clip right now for Garden of Salvation Similar. I can't remember. I passed it off to Mark Medina. Mark Medina handles all of our speedrunning stuff. He does stuff with Awesome Games Done Quick often. Yeah. And Bungie, if you're listening, we want you to react to the speedrun. We would love to get you to do that.
That would be cool.
Yeah. That's everything I had for this week. True Vanguard, thank you so much for joining us on the show today and giving us much more insight about PvP.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a joy.
Yeah. Where can people find your work?
TrueVanguard.com will take you straight to my streaming page where you can follow and see live gameplay 6 days a week. Other than that, you can find me on social media, The True Vanguard on Twitter and on Instagram, as well as YouTube.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Travis, for making the trek over here. And for everybody else listening, until next time,
Guardians out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.